Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Hey, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. We have arrived to Friday. Welcome into the program. If you want to be with us today, there are multiple ways for you to get connected. You can always call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me. At Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment in the chat and we can address some of those as we go along. We haven't done this in a while. I think we'll do it today. We'll see if we get much reaction to it. Now that the baseball offseason has arrived, free agency has opened, all that sort of stuff, not that things are really going to move, I think what I would be curious to hear from you, so if you want to participate or not, probably around 6:30, 6:35 or so, I'll open up the phone lines, open up the text line, the tweet line, all that sort of stuff. And if you want to text me or tweet at me now, and we'll look at them later, feel free. But what do you, I would ask you with the premise of like it being based in reality. If your hope for the Cardinals is that they go triple their payroll this year and go after every major free agent, like that's obviously not going to happen. So if we can be in a world that is true, if we can be based in reality, what would make you happy with what this Cardinals offseason could look like? That's what would make you happy. That's my question. And again, I'm going to ask you, if you're listening to this show, obviously you are a highly intelligent person. So I would ask you to be based in reality, and maybe the answer is going to be nothing, right? Maybe because you're based in reality and you know what this offseason can be and what this offseason won't be, maybe there's absolutely nothing that will make you happy. And if that's the case, feel free to share that with me. But what are the things that could occur this offseason that would make you feel better about this club moving forward that are things that could actually happen. So we'll open up the phone lines for that question later on this hour, and would encourage you, if you don't want to call in, you can certainly send in thoughts on that. Again, if you want to text in, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can start sending those messages right in. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And again, for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment on the chat. That's going to be sort of our question of the day as we get into the 6:30 segment today. What could happen that would actually make you happy? Because we spend so much time, talking about what's not going to happen. We spend so much time talking about why you're not happy. Let's find some positivity in this one today. Let's finish off the week on an up note. What are the things that could happen? So we welcome in your messages. Again, we'll open up the phone lines around 6:35 or so if you want to get in on that. Blues win last night. It was good to see. I got pushed to the point. I'll just tell you where I'm at when it comes to the St. Louis Blues. When they lost that game to the Washington Capitals and played the way they played that night, that pushed me over a line where I'm not going to find my overall positivity about the team until they give me enough of a reason to walk back over that line. And as good, I'm not trying to discount the performance last night at all. Really good game. Joel Hofer was awesome. He made one save early on in the game that really set the tone for him. Matthew Joseph was really good. Shorthanded goal, assisted on the other two goals. You know, they played without Jordan Kyrou, and other guys were able to step up and move forward. I am happy for last night's victory. I am happy for that as a single moment, a single entity. I am not willing to say that represents anything more than a single win. They got to show me some more. They got to show me a lot of stuff. But I'm happy that they got the win. Matthew DeFranks is going to join us on about less than 10 minutes from the Post-Dispatch. Does a great job covering the Blues. We'll talk with Matthew here in just a few minutes and get his thoughts on where this team is at here right now. Next hour, we'll talk some Mizzou football. Looking forward to that as we're going to talk. We've got a guest coming on to discuss all things Missouri. Also, Alec Burleson, you may have heard him today with the Gas House Gang. If you missed him, you're going to get the opportunity to hear a lot of Alec Burleson between now and 9 o'clock tonight because in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to run back some of what he said during his media Zoom that he did today with various members of the media. I was on that call with him. And then earlier today, he did an interview on the Gas House Gang with Chris Ranji and Mike Claiborne. We'll have a Gas House Gang replay at 8 o'clock, so you'll get the opportunity to hear that to hear that conversation again around 8:30 or so tonight. So, I like the fact the Cardinals did this with Mason Wynn winning the Gold Glove. They did this with Alec Burleson now winning the Silver Slugger. A good opportunity to get some of these good stories out there. And I talked about this a lot yesterday. And again, this goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier. There's just so much negativity. I think there is pressure on the organization. And look, this is not about spinning a story. This is not about putting lipstick on a pig. This is not about any of these things. It's about taking the actual good things, positive things that have happened and try to get a little bit more of a spotlight on those as the rest of the organization, the areas that we have talked about that where the negativity has been based on. Those need to be pulled up. But, hey, it's a great story that Mason Wynn won a Gold Glove. Hey, it's a great story that Alec Burleson won a Silver Slugger. So let's get these guys out there. I think that's part of why they were made available to the Gas House Gang this week. It's why these Zoom calls were taking place, just an opportunity to put more of a spotlight on some of the good things that did happen. We'd like a whole lot more good things to happen with the Cardinals, but good to see at least some of those. So that's kind of a rundown of what's going to be coming up on the show today. Again, we'll open up the phone lines later, but if you want to get in here right now, we're already starting to get some messages, which is good. What could actually happen? I'm looking for reality-based responses. what could actually happen that would make you happy about this Cardinals offseason now that we have arrived to free agency officially being open. You can text in 314-436-7900 or tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears. We'll talk St. Louis Blues hockey. Matthew DeFranks joins us in just a moment here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's an off night for the Blues, coming off a good win yesterday against Buffalo, ending a losing streak, and they'll get back at it tomorrow at home as they take on Seattle. Very happy right now to welcome back onto the show. He covers the Blues for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is Matthew DeFranks. Follow him on Twitter at MDeFranks. Matthew, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, for sure. I'm doing great.
So the win yesterday, obviously much needed. It's just one game, but with so much negativity around the team, how good was it for them to finally experience just having a good night of hockey?
Yeah, I think it's been kind of an up and down week. I think I was thinking about it earlier, and I put it into words like this. It was an encouraging week, and it was also an embarrassing week. Like, on that Monday game against Edmonton, like, they're down 2-0. They make a big comeback. They break a 7-game losing streak. They should be feeling great about themselves. And then they come out and lay that egg, 6-1 loss in Washington. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, that's not something that should happen in these situations where, they didn't win, like, 4 games in a row after breaking a 7-game losing streak. They won one game, mm-hmm. and they slipped back into losing by 5 goals. And so I think that was the embarrassing part. And then last night, another encouraging part to see a response from the team like that. I mean, I think Joel Hofer had his best game of the season. If it wasn't best, it was his second best behind that game in Calgary where he was really good. And to me, he was the main reason why the Blues won last night in Buffalo. So encouraging signs to see from the goaltending, and we'll just have to see how long it can carry, because the last time they had these feelings, it lasted for exactly one game before they were back to being blown out by 5 goals.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because you could look at those Canucks and Blue Jackets games and say, okay, they played better, and then they get the win against the Oilers, and you feel like it's starting to trend in the right direction, but it feels like any positivity that you had about that Vancouver and Columbus game almost got knocked out when they lost to Washington, and that just kind of took everything back to square one.
Yeah, and I think it was the way that they lost. I think some of these games, you can live with losing, but you can't really live with losing by 5. And some of these games that they've been losing a lot by, like even that season opener, 5-0 against Minnesota, I didn't really think that they played poorly. I think Bennington could have been better in that. I think that Chicago game where they lost, I think it was an 8-3 final, like Hofer was pretty bad in goal. So some of these games where you look at it and say, well, you know what, maybe they actually didn't play all that poorly. The goaltending was just bad. Like on Wednesday in Washington, they played poorly and the goaltending was bad. It was both. So I think that combination was one that hasn't been seen a ton in St. Louis this year. Obviously, there's been some of it, but for the most part, it's either been one or the other where, you know, Jordan Binnington kept them in the game against the Kings. They got a point out of that. He kept them in the game against Edmonton. They got a win out of that. But other games where maybe the skaters in front of him are actually playing okay, the goaltenders haven't carried up on their end of the deal. So on Wednesday in Washington, I think that was the greater concern, was that it was both parts that weren't functioning well.
What did you think when you first heard that Jordan Kyrou was going to be a healthy scratch?
Yeah, I was surprised. On the list of things that were problems for the Blues, I don't think he would be close to the top of it. I think, you know, we've talked about, obviously, they can't scratch goaltenders. They don't really even have a third goaltender to call up. So, like, that's not really much of an option. The defense, it's kind of a similar thing where they've been rotating the sixth and seventh defensemen in and out. And outside of that, they don't really have options to put in the lineup. In the AHL, you could go with a guy like Callie Rosen, but even then, you know, what are we doing here? So I was surprised when it was Kyrou, because even now, after missing the game, he's first in the team in shot attempts. He's second in the team in shots on goal. I believe he's third on the team in goals and second on the team in points. So he's someone who has been a productive member of your team. And not only that, I think the on-ice contributions, the 200-foot game part of it, you see a lot of growth from him in those areas in the last year or two. The crashing back in the neutral zone to win a puck, pressuring pucks in the defensive zone, working in the corners to try to free a puck on the forecheck. Like, these are things that were part of his growth in the last year or two. And I haven't spoken to Jim Montgomery since it happened, so I don't know if he thought that those aspects kind of waned a little bit in Jordan Kyrou's game. But the analytics side of it, you know, he's their best forward with on-ice effects, meaning when he's on the ice, good things happen. They control scoring chances both offensively and defensively the most with him on the ice. They control expected goals with him on the ice. Like, everything that kind of has pointed to him has been kind of okay so far this year. So I think it was a little bit surprising for me to see that. And I think it wasn't just that he was scratching Kyrou. I mean, obviously, Kyrou is the one that has to wear it. And ultimately, I believe he'll probably get back in the lineup tomorrow night. But it's kind of a message to everyone else, too. You know, if Jordan Kyrou can be scratched, what about the other players on the team? How do they feel about it? And do they think that they can also be scratched as well?
We're talking with Matthew DeFranks from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. I realize the question I'm about to ask you is going to be hard to answer, if answerable at all. So if you don't have an answer, that's fine. But what does it look like beyond, you know, Kyrou just being back in the lineup? Is there a domino effect to this? Is there relationship issues between him and the coach? Like, what do you think it looks like between the Blues and Kyrou, if at all different as a result of this decision to healthy scratch him?
Yeah, it's a good question. And yeah, as you mentioned, I don't have the answer for it. I think I'll have a clearer idea. Probably not, honestly, after talking to Montgomery and Kyrou tomorrow after Morgan State. You know, who knows what they'll say? Who knows how honest they'll actually be? But this afternoon, I kind of went back in recent history with the Blues and Kyrou and kind of all of these instances of public reprimand, for lack of a better word. There's a history there, and three different coaches. Where I kind of started was in February of 2023. It's when Craig Berube said, our top players don't play with any passion, no emotion, and they're getting paid the big bucks. They're not producing. That's the end of story. That's it. And that was kind of the start of it. I mean, he had the turnover that led to a loss against Detroit. And then a couple hours later, Ruby was fired. Obviously there was a time where he was booed at home following his no comment about Craig Berube. Drew Bannister benched him for a period during a loss in Detroit. There was a period of time early last year where he was turning pucks over late in games and costing them at least a chance to get to overtime. And then he got sat late in the game in Buffalo for those reasons. Even, you know, this past week or so, I think it was on the 31st, Jim Montgomery, after practice, he had probably about a 10-minute conversation with Pavel Buchnevich and Jordan Kyrou. What about? I don't think we have the answers yet. But the intention there is very clear. Like, Jim Montgomery is trying to get his attention. So there's been kind of a whole host of things, different situations, different responses, different coaches. And this was the one thing that hadn't happened. And I'm curious to see how the response is after it has.
You know, it's pretty amazing because the Blues have struggled so much. They've been tied for the worst points in the entire league. But just the way the NHL is playing out right now, even with 12 points, they're 4 points out of a playoff spot. So we can sit here and they got a million teams to jump over to get there. But it's not like they have buried themselves in a way that they can't bring themselves out of. It just seems to be, Matthew, that they got to find themselves or find closer to the version that we thought they were going to be before the season got started. And it feels like things could get righted pretty quickly.
Yeah, and maybe about a week or two ago, I would have thought, hey, get the goaltending fixed and everything else will follow. They'll be just fine. And you know, all of their underlying team numbers were were pretty good the way that they were playing in front of the goaltenders, and the goaltending was the worst in the league. And so this is not a pair that has, you know, worst in the league qualities. Even 2 years ago, Binnington and Hofer were a top 3 to 5 tandem in the NHL. Like, legitimately, by the numbers, they're probably behind Winnipeg, which is really Hellebuck, and it didn't really matter who his backup was that year. And then Florida, and same thing with Bobrovsky. And then as far as true tandems, it was probably St. Louis as the number one true unit versus one guy who gets 60 to 65 starts and everything else. So this is a pair that has done it before, and 2 years ago isn't a long time ago, especially in the world of goaltending when you don't expect them to age until much later. That's a position where you can break in late, you can play much longer. So it's not like, you know, in Binnington's case, it's not like he's over the hill and done because he's 32 or whatever he is, 31, 32. So I believe they can get back to it. I don't know goaltending well enough to know that how they do it. But I think once that gets solved, you know, a lot of things will fall into place in the standings. And I was doing the math earlier today to get to 95 points, which is typically the cutoff for a playoff spot. I think the Blues have to play at a 102 point pace across the final 67 games. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not impossible. It is a hill from where they are right now, but that's something that they've done before, as we've seen many times. I mean, this October start is kind of an annual tradition around these parts these times of year. But it is an uphill climb, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately for Blues fans, that's a very, very true statement. He is Matthew DeFranks. Fortunately for Blues fans, he does an incredible job covering the team for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. If you are not reading him on a daily basis, you absolutely are missing out. Follow him, follow along as well on Twitter at MDeFranks. Matthew, thank you so much for taking the time. Enjoy your weekend, and we look forward to talking to you again down the line.
All right, thanks, Matt.
That is Matthew DeFranks joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. Again, you can read him in the Post-Dispatch and at stltoday.com. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines here in our next segment, so we will be willing to take your calls. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. The question that I want presented, what could the Cardinals do this offseason? That's actually something that might happen in the real world. I'm asking you to be based in reality. What could happen this offseason that would actually make you feel better about this team moving forward here as Heim Bloom begins his tenure as the president of baseball operations? That's the question on the table. We're taking your phone calls and your text messages at 314-436-7900. We're taking your tweets at Matt Pauly on air, and we're taking your comments on the video stream. It's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come on. Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Back at it. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We're taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to chime in, now's the opportunity to do it. The question that is being presented to you, and we'll take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, and your messages on the video chat for those of you who are watching us. What could occur this offseason that actually has a possibility of happening? I am asking you to not go to fantasy land, but to be grounded in real life type stuff. What could happen this offseason that would actually make you feel better? We're trying to be positive today. Today it's a positivity Friday. Sound like I'm on the contemporary Christian music station. Positivity Friday. No, that's what we're doing on this one today. What could make you feel better? So again, we'll take your phone calls if you want to chime in. 314-436-7900. Elsewhere, you can text in at that same number. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. Got a tweet from Wes. It says, if they can bring in a younger pitcher to continue to be an ace, or a guy who is not close to retirement that can lead these young pitchers. So a top of the rotation pitcher who is not a year or two away from retirement. So that's one of the Bernie Miklas brought this up during Rush Hour Sports about an Edward Cabrera from the Marlins, because he's got 3 years of club control left. If you're going to bring in a high end pitcher, and Cabrera is really, really good stuff. I pause when I say high end, but he's probably better than what you have now. If you're going to bring somebody in like that, you're going to have multiple years of control on them, because this is not a win in 2026 type decision. I just don't know what that's going to look like. I think they have to bring in starting pitching. I think they're likely to trade Sonny Gray. And I don't bring up how much money he makes very often, because the Cardinals save so much on the front end of that contract. It's a backloaded deal. So when people bring up the salary that goes along with it, they say, there's no way the Cardinals are going to spend this much on Sonny Gray this year. I always push back on that, because I think it's money that they saved by having him, you know, backloading the contract. I'm not overly worried about that. I don't know what it's going to look like. I think they're going to bring in starting pitching. I think they're going to bring in some legit starting pitching, like not just back of the rotation veterans who are on a 1 year deal or just trying to hang on in the big leagues. But I don't know if anybody being brought in is really going to be somebody that you look at as being like a legit top of the rotation starter. Are you going to bring in somebody who's better than Sonny Gray? That's the question. And if you trade away Sonny Gray, but you bring in two like pretty legit dudes who maybe neither of them are quite to the level of Gray, from a big picture standpoint, is the rotation overall better than it was last year? It depends on the guys. Like, we'd have to look at each potential scenario, and that's not really what I want to do right here. But there is a possibility of that happening. John sends in a message on the video stream. Says Dustin May or Tyler Mahle would make me feel better if the Cardinals signed one of them or even both. Another good bullpen arm would also be nice. Yeah, I don't know if it's just because we talk about it so much. We need to get Kevin Wheeler a Dustin May fan club shirt because he is on that train. He wants to see the Cardinals acquire Dustin May. And Bernie Miklas talked about today on Rush Hour Sports that the Cardinals feel like that there's some people in the organization and some systems now in the organization that's going to help them identify players who are more likely to return to prior form. Like, this is, I hate that I like invoke the Brewers so often because I work there. I think I would be invoking the Brewers doing this even if not, if my career path would not have included some time in Milwaukee. But anytime I bring it up, I feel like, well, here I go talking about Milwaukee again because I happen to be there. But all that being said, I think the world of baseball can look at the Brewers as a team that has done some things really, really well, and how do you replicate some of those things? And one of the things that the Brewers do quite well is they find guys and make them better. It's not some, they do produce talent out of their minor league system, but I don't know if there is an organization in baseball that's better at getting guys and getting them to the best version of themselves. And the Rays do that with their own guys. They're very good at helping guys figure out how to be the best version. This is what the Cardinals, think about all the Dave Duncan reclamation projects. This is where the Cardinals used to excel more than any other team in baseball. They don't anymore. And if they can get back to that, that's where you can really start to find some success. So I don't know. Like, you look at the numbers for Dustin May this past year, obviously not very good, but he's been good when he's been healthy. You know, Eric sends in a message and mentions Walker Buehler. I think in some ways you can put that name in there as well, although he scares me a little bit more than some of the others. Like, his downturn for me seems a little bit more real, but maybe not. Maybe he's somebody who just needs to come back around, or maybe he's somebody that just needs to be in the right organization with the right people to fix him. I don't want this to just be a thing, though, where it's an offseason for the Cardinals filled with reclamation projects. It's okay to find a guy or two like that, but you're not always going to hit, right? Like, that's the important thing here. Dave Duncan didn't bat 1,000 in pitchers coming in and him trying to fix them. So if all your moves this offseason are based upon, well, if this guy can get back to being who he was before, that's not going to do as much for me. I'm good with some of that, but you also want to bring in some pieces that from a production standpoint, you have more of a confident belief in what it is going to look like. A text message comes in from the 615, says, what would make me happy is trading Wilson Contreras. There are still people who do not love Wilson Contreras. If the return is good enough, I'm fine with the team trading Contreras. Let me start with that. If the return is good enough, if you can bring in players that are going to help you win in the future, even if it's not this upcoming season, I am okay with Wilson Contreras being traded. At the same time, I don't want the team completely being, you know, stripped down for parts. And Contreras gives you something that you don't have a whole lot of, and that's a little bit of pop from the right side. And the one thing here is if you were to trade Contreras, you would have some coverage because you can play Burleson at first base. You could even maybe put Ivan Herrera at first base a little bit more often. If you do that, you might be forced to carry three catchers again. So that would, there'd be some roster maneuvering that goes along with that. But there's also no guarantee that Herrera is going to return to catch and that he's going to be part of a two-catcher tandem. They want to bring him back as a catcher. There's no guarantee that it's going to work. So having him as somebody who can play a little bit of first base and then having the three catchers on the roster anyways, you might be in that spot whether Herrera is playing a little bit of first one way or the other. To put cards out on the table, I was disappointed. Not like overly crazy, I'm going to pound my head against the wall disappointed, but I was a little bit underwhelmed by Contreras' numbers this past season. I thought when he moved over to first base that was going to take some of the wear and tear off of his body and that the numbers were going to push forward more than they did. That doesn't mean he didn't have a good season. You know, people are going to hear me say that and they're going to think that I'm trashing the guy. I am not trashing him. 257 average, 791 OPS, 20 home run season. All of those are perfectly good numbers. They're fine. I thought this was a guy who was going to push closer to having a 30 home run season. I didn't know if he was going to get there, but I thought it was going to look more like 30 home runs. I thought that OPS would be more into the higher end of the 800s, you know, and his 2024 season with the Cardinals, even though he played just 84 games, he had an OPS around 850. I thought that that might be more the neighborhood that he would be in. So I was a little underwhelmed, but that doesn't mean that they were bad numbers. That doesn't mean that there are not many teams out there that would jump at an opportunity to have Wilson Contreras on the roster. And for people who say that the Cardinals tanked his value when they moved him out from behind the plate, I couldn't disagree more. They did not. His numbers are fine for a first baseman. He's able to stay on the field a little bit more, especially as a guy who's getting older. He's not the first guy to be pulled out from behind the plate. We'll continue this conversation coming up in just a moment. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere. It's a Gray Bar.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Our conversation is what can happen this year in the Cardinals offseason that is actually something that could happen or could be based in reality that would make you potentially happy about the way the offseason goes. Rich has given us a call. Hey, Rich, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
We heard all year long about giving these guys a runway to get going, Walker, Gorman, Scott. Win, but what we need is pitching. And if we don't bring our farm system up with Matthews and Liam and give these guys a chance to see if they can make it in the major leagues, we're wasting our time. We got to have pitching. Look at the Dodgers. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I want Quinn Matthews to be in the rotation from opening day. I want Liam Doyle to be pitching in the big leagues at some point next year. I want Ishan Henderson to maybe make the opportunity to get a shot in the big leagues. Now, you can't like count on any of these guys for sure being there. So that's part of the issue here is you have to have coverage in case they're not ready. If Quinn Matthews just is clearly and obviously in spring training not someone that's ready for the big leagues and you were holding a spot for him, well, then all of a sudden you're going to be in trouble. And I think that's kind of the area that the team is dealing with right now in terms of how to have coverage. Just a couple minutes left here in the hour. Let's grab one more phone call before we call today for the 6 o'clock hour. Jack has given us a call. Hey, Jack, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, I was just calling in. Just watching the World Series and everything that surrounded both these teams. They were phenomenal. The Cardinals are so far behind in what they need to do to be like that. And they need so much more talent and work. And it doesn't make sense that they don't go out and get any of these players. It just does not make sense. They have opportunity to, and they never sign them. I mean, I understand there's a farm system and Springfield, but also the other parts of the pie are able to come out and get and seek out these other players. It just doesn't make sense. Those pitching's the name of the game, and what I saw with the Dodgers and even Texas, they are so far from that caliber, sir.
Yeah, Jack, I appreciate the phone call. And I think I agree with half of what you said, and it's the most important part of what you said, in my opinion. The Cardinals are really far away from a talent standpoint. They need an infusion of talent at the top of the roster. And there are a bunch of guys on this team who I like, who I think can be part of a winning team moving forward. But the guys who are your best team, the guys who are the best players on the team right now can't be your best players. They've got to be kind of in that second group. And, you know, Bill DeWitt likes having stars on the Cardinals. And that's an area that they're still trying to get back to. There's so much that they need to get there. Spending a ton of free agent money right now on one guy, that doesn't do a lot for me because I don't know how much that gets you closer. But a couple years down the line, year down, depending on what it looks like this year, when all of a sudden you are producing players out of your minor league system again, that's when they can lift back up and start spending again and start bringing, you know, start infusing the team with high-end talent. I do want them to bring in high-end talent from the outside, but I don't want them to fill up the rest of the roster from the outside, and it's going to be a process to be able to get there. But there is a talent deficit for sure. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on, taking you for another hour. We'll talk some Mizzou football coming up on our next segment. We'll hear from Alec Burleson. You're going to hear a lot from Alec Burleson here on KMOX over the next 90 minutes or so. We're going to play back some of what he said today when he did a media Zoom with various members of the media today on Zoom, just talking through his Silver Slugger. I was on that call with him, and we'll play back some of what he had to say. And then we have our Gas House Gang replay, which will come up at 8 o'clock, which I was on for the first half hour of. You'll hear that, but then I pop off, and Alec Burleson joins Ronge and Klabe. So that's going to be coming up later on here on KMOX. Derek Gould tweeted out a few hours ago. This was interesting. Kyle Sixt is in studio with us tonight. Kyle, as we talked about yesterday with the Cardinals making some moves, including outriding Zach Thompson and him electing minor league free agency, it appeared that he was indeed a free agent, certainly not shutting the door on him staying in the organization. I actually thought with his, you never really know with a new baseball operations head on what they think about an individual. So if Heim Bloom does not think highly of Zach Thompson, then he probably would have stayed out of the organization. But after you work with a guy for so long trying to get him back, you'd like to, you know, reap some of those benefits and see whether or not the health comes along. We said yesterday that he had elected for free agency after being outrighted. Well, Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today tweeted out, quote, "Here's a curveball. Zach Thompson will not become a minor league free agent. Remaining now in the Cardinals organization, the team learned that due to nuance of Major League Baseball rules related to him spending the entire year on the Major League Baseball injured list, he is actually not a minor league free agent after clearing outright waivers as stated, and instead he is going to be placed on the Class AAA Memphis roster." So he's off the 40-man roster, but he is still in the organization. So we'll see. You know, if anybody has super high hopes for what's going to happen, I think that would be incorrect just because the injury history is probably more overwhelming than anything else at this point. But interesting that he is going to stay in the organization.
I think that is interesting. And if you're a Cardinals fan, I mean, no reason to be super excited, but I mean, you'll take it. Absolutely. He's a former first round pick, someone who the Cardinals once looked at as a top prospect. He made the 2024 starting rotation to begin the year just, you know, 2 years ago. So we're not that far removed from him being a part of the Cardinals plan. So you definitely take it.
He's a left-hander. That's the, right. You know, they need that. And if they look at him as a reliever, I do hope that there's more, how do I say this? Because I don't want them to like close the door on moving guys from being starters to relievers and vice versa, if it makes sense. But like how they handled Thompson, where at one point he's a starter, then he's a reliever, then they send him to Memphis and basically say they're going to have him at Memphis for a long time for him to start because they want him to be available to be a starter like the next season. Like that, the whole story arc of Zach Thompson and the way the Cardinals have handled him and even things that they've said. I can remember John Mozeliak talking about the fact that, you know, they viewed him as a starter even when he was working as a reliever here. I just hope that there's more clarity on a lot of these guys on what their path is going to be. And bluntly, I don't want to, what they did with Kyle Leahy this year was perfect. It was perfect. They did not send him to AAA to stretch out this year so he could be ready to start next year. That would be wacky. What they did was they allowed him to pitch out of the bullpen. They stretched him out when they had an opportunity to do so. If he was going well, you'd get multiple innings. They gave him a start late in the year. You pushed him as much as you could push him. It's hard to extend innings for relief pitchers. And even if he is a starter next year, that's going to be part of the issue here is how much can you push him in terms of innings just based off what he's done so far. But how they handled Kyle Leahy was the appropriate way to do it, even knowing his future might be in the rotation. And I just hope there's more of that moving forward.
I agree. I think when you're going through that and you're building up to being a starting pitcher, hopefully eventually, I think you just need to get to the major leagues, right? You just want to face that quality of pitching, see how you stack up, and then you can maybe make that decision later like they did with Libertor this year.
Yeah.
And obviously that worked out.
It worked out. And it wasn't perfect. And he hit a wall. We all knew he was going to hit a wall. That was, I think I have a pretty strong track record of being an Oliver Marmol guy. One of the issues I would take with Ollie this year was just the downplaying of the innings push for Liberatore. Anytime that got brought up in the season, hey, are you going to skip him a start every once in a while? Are you going to take the foot off the pedal? Are you going to do something to try to help him, you know, make it through the season? That was always very much kind of poo-pooed in the moment. And then all of a sudden hit a point where this guy obviously had hit a wall and then it started to be talked about. So, but that being said, that's fine. And he had a nice finish to his season. And I think he's going to come in and be ready to take another step forward this upcoming year. Some of the just kind of going through news and notes of the day, and Jeff Jones from the Belleville News Democrat compiled this list on his Twitter account. He listed a bunch of Cardinals minor leaguers who have elected free agency. I won't go through all of them, but some of the names that are notable: Drew Rahm elects free agency. I would guess he'll probably try somewhere else He's been injured, but he's a guy who was taken off the 40-man roster, given the opportunity to stay in the organization. I don't know if there's going to be much of an appetite to have him back. Tyler Matzik, he elects free agency. Remember when he came in the organization, everybody assumed it was going to be like a week in Memphis and then he was going to be in the big leagues. And that did not happen. Zach Plesac, he was another guy that he comes in the organization. You think that maybe there's a door open for him to get to the big leagues. That didn't happen. Aaron Wilkerson, Curtis Taylor, each had pretty good years at AAA Memphis. Maybe they are able to turn that into an opportunity where they can go somewhere and compete for a big league job. But those are some of the names. And then yesterday, with all the moves that were made to clear spots on the 40-man roster, this organization is going to have some decisions to make when it comes to the 40-man. There are clearly some, and you put players on the 40-man to protect them away from being, you know, Rule 5 eligible, and you know there's a handful of guys that for sure will get. Leonardo Bernal is going to end up on the 40-man. Joshua Baez is going to end up on the 40-man. Bryson Mount's going to, you know, be added to the 40-man. But then there's another group of players. Pete Hansen, Max Radjic, who not this past season but the year before was really, really good. What do you do with pitchers like Tekoa Roby and Tink Hentz? You know, Roby is going to be he's banged up right now. If you don't protect him, does he get selected? Probably not. But there's still a gamble there. Same thing. Do people look at the upside of a Tink Hentz and just take him if he's not protected? I don't know. So we'll see what the 40-man ends up looking like. But there are some big decisions to make here still before they get into the and then there's the tenders decisions. Like there could be some guys who, if you non-tender a John King, if you non-tender an Andre Pallante, there's an opportunity to create some 40-man spots there as well.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be some interesting decisions to be made.
Yeah, we'll see how it all works out, something that we're going to be continuing to talk about as we get closer and closer and closer. What we're going to talk about next is Missouri football. Interesting weekend coming up. I keep bringing this up. When we had Jerry Palm on the show earlier this week, he mentioned the fact that he feels like Missouri cannot be a three-loss team and get into the college football playoff. And maybe we're wacky even to be talking about college football playoff when you consider the resume of this team right now. The resume is not great when you look at, you know, what's the best win for Missouri this year. Is it Kansas? It probably is Kansas. It's not. South Carolina has really tanked. So you have a Kansas team that is having an okay season, but they're still a team that's fighting for bowl eligibility. They're a 5-win team. As mentioned, South Carolina, they looked a whole lot better in the moment when you beat them. Now they're a 3-6 team. It's hard to find a really good win. Auburn's not a really – it's a road win in the SEC, so I think you can make the argument that Auburn might be the best win, but it's a team right now that is that's looking for some good wins. And – they are probably at a point now where every loss would be an elimination loss for the college football playoff. We'll talk a little bit about that and look ahead to the weekend against Texas A&M. They are going to be without one of their top players as well on offense. We'll tell you all about that. That's coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Full 2-hour show tonight. We will have St. Louis University basketball coming up on Monday evening. They're going to match up against Lindenwood. Of course, we are your home for Billikens basketball. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. As always, we'll be bringing you the broadcast coming up on Monday. Also, we're going to have we got a busy weekend with football here on KMOX. We'll get into that coming up in just a little while. Missouri football, they've got a big one coming up as they've got an opportunity against one of the top teams in the nation as they welcome in Texas A&M on Saturday. And to preview that, we're very happy to welcome in somebody who covers Missouri football for the Columbia Missourian. He is Quentin Corpuel, and you can follow him on Twitter at Quentin, and then Corpuel is spelled C-O-R-P-U-E-L, just like it sounds. Quentin joins us right now. Quentin, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big news of the day is that Missouri is going to be without tight end Brett Norfleet for the game against Texas A&M on Saturday, especially with a young quarterback getting his first start. How much does this change maybe what Missouri wants to do offensively?
Yeah, that's obviously not ideal, especially because not only is Brett Norfleet a really solid pass catcher, he is an excellent blocker, and he's really helped out on that side of the line where he is in terms of chipping guys and clearing holes in the run game. That being said, Matt Zellers has found a really nice target in fellow, I guess now redshirt freshman, Jude James. You saw the touchdown a couple of weeks ago against Vanderbilt on fourth down that kept Mizzou afloat. There was Zellers in the third quarter. But obviously, while Norfleet is a big loss, they have Jude James and then Jordan Harris as well. I know pass catching has been a bit of a struggle for him, but I think he's a good blocker too.
How much of what we saw from Zellers in that last game can continue to happen? I mean, 2 weeks for him working the offense, but 2 weeks for Texas A&M to get ready. Like, what are your expectations for a young guy with a very high ceiling, but still a very young and experienced guy?
I think he's going to make a few throws on Saturday that are going to wow some people. He obviously has a rocket arm. We saw that a lot a couple weeks ago against Vanderbilt. If you took a look at his high school film, there are many 50 to 60, even sometimes 65 to 70 yard throws on tape. And some of those are off platform, which is extra impressive. And we saw, again, Vanderbilt, he's able to get a ball over 50 yards to the end zone in that Hail Mary that came up just inches short with Kevin Coleman Jr. making the catch. In terms of poise and ability to read the field, there are going to be some growing pains. We saw that a little bit, again, on Saturday. He's had to develop that over his time at Spring Ford in Pennsylvania, where he went to high school. So I wouldn't expect anything totally excellent, totally flawless. But at the same time, I think he's going to have a few about wow moments with his arm, especially considering his arm is much stronger than Bo Prabila's.
Yeah, does that change? And I know I keep asking you questions about change, but Prabila did not have the ability, or did not really show the ability, to have much consistency in the home run ball. Does this change what Missouri tries to do? Are they going to take some shots with Zellers that they were not taking previously this year?
I absolutely think so. I think something that Kirby Moore has done a really good job of during his time at Mizzou is molding his offensive play calling around his personnel. He's not trying to fit circles into squares, which I think a lot of coaches, not just in football, but I see in basketball too, then trying to implement systems that just don't fit the strengths of their players. I do think we're going to see some more downfield shots. We saw with Bo Prabula, there are a lot of run plays. There weren't as many shots deep down the field, some of which was because defenses were giving Mizzou 0 to 10 yard throws, which Prabula happily took a lot. Zellers, I think, has the ability to test parts of the field that Bo Prabula just hasn't tested, and thus I think we will see more of that tomorrow.
They can't be a pass-only offense. You would like to see them start to run the ball again, something that they've not been able to do with much consistency really since league play got started, and they were one of the best running teams in the nation. Were they one of the best running teams in the nation because of who they were playing, or is that something that they can at least get some version of once again?
Yeah, I think part of it had to do with the level of competition. Auburn, we saw them get stonewalled a handful of times. They have a really good run defense. We saw after those first five games, not just with Auburn, but with other teams they played, they've been much better against the run. I think tomorrow it's going to be really interesting because Texas A&M's defense thrives when they make offenses one-dimensional. They are one of the best in the country at generating sacks, generating tackles for loss, and no one is better at defending third downs. A lot of that has to do with succeeding on first and second down and then sending complex blitz packages on third down that can confuse quarterbacks, which, you know, a true freshman can be susceptible to confusion just because they haven't played a lot of college football like Zellers has. I also think Texas A&M's run defense hasn't been great. We saw Arkansas have a lot of success on the ground. We even saw in the opening week of the season, Robert Henry Jr. of UTSA had 177 yards on the ground. I think if Mizzou is able to establish the run, especially on early downs, that'll set Zellers and the rest of the offense up really well.
We are talking right now with Quentin Corpuel from the Columbia Missourian as we look ahead to Missouri and Texas A&M. That's going to be coming up on Saturday. Has there been much talk, has there been much revealed this week about the type of work and the amount of work and what has gone into over these last 2 weeks, really, for getting Zellers ready to go?
Yeah, I think it's been talked about a little bit, especially in our weekly Tuesday presser with Drink. It's just really difficult because you can't really grow without reps. And while Zellers played a lot in fall camp. He has been practicing with the ones, obviously, over the past couple of weeks. You can't really grow unless you're actually in a game. And Zellers only has less than a half of college football experience under his belt. So, again, I will reiterate, there are going to be growing pains, not just with Saturday, but for the rest of the season. This is a true freshman quarterback who has not played a ton of college football. And though, although he does have prestige, although he has outdone expectations wherever he has gone, I would not expect Zellers to totally light the world on fire. I think there will be maybe some misfires again, like we saw against Vanderbilt, him botching the handoff, him having to throw the ball away a couple of times. I think that's going to happen again tomorrow, and that's totally okay. That's natural. That should happen.
Missouri defensively is pretty good at getting to the quarterback. Texas A&M is really good at protecting the quarterback. That battle right there, how key is that if Missouri wants to pull an upset?
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely key, as you touched on right there. Marcel Reed is one of the least sacked quarterbacks in the entire country. We saw a couple of weeks ago, Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, was one of the least sacked quarterbacks in the country. And while someone like Damon Wilson, I believe, generated 5 pressures according to PFF, Mizzou only generated 12 as a team, which was the lowest at the very least in a while, if not the whole entire season. One thing they've been able to do really well is thrive on rushing 3 or 4 guys and still getting home. I think they might need to send some blitzes against the Texas A&M offensive line that's really sturdy. And a quarterback, while Mizzou has defended mobile quarterbacks really well. Marcel Reed has been really good when he gets outside of the pocket. So I think that's going to be a very key battle tomorrow.
Under Eli Drinkwitz, it has been really tough to come into Columbia and beat Missouri. They've had an incredible home field advantage. They lose to Alabama earlier this year. No shame in that. Alabama's a great team, but they've got another great team coming in. How do they go about trying to use that home field and come up with what would, to the college football world, be considered a pretty big upset against a top 3 team in the nation?
Yeah, I think just focusing on what's ahead of them only on Saturday, I think when we look big picture, in order to make the college football playoff, Mizzou has to likely win out. And if they don't win out, they at the very least have to beat Texas A&M. Because if you think back to last year, their resume at 9-3 just wasn't good enough. Their best wins were over 500 teams, give or take a game or two. This is an opportunity for a signature win. Mizzou just hasn't had that lately. There are 2 opportunities this year, as you said. They had their chances to win, but they couldn't. But I think as long as Mizzou, they always preach trying to go 1-0 every week, focusing on what's directly in front of them. I think just focusing on today and now what they need to do over these next few weeks to get in the playoff, I think is going to serve them well.
Final questions. We're talking with Quentin Corpuel from the Columbia, Missouri. And there continues to be a lot of smoke regarding Eli Drinkwitz and his future. Earlier this week, one of the odds makers put him as the potential candidate with the highest odds to become the next head coach at Penn State. What's the feeling around this program? What's the feeling in Columbia about the universities and the athletics department's ability to keep Drinkwitz in Columbia?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time just because of how many job openings there are that a lot of these power conference coaches like Drinkwitz, like Clark Lee, like Kenny Dillingham, even though he said he is going to be coaching at Arizona State next year, there are a lot of openings for guys like Drinkwitz to potentially take over the offseason. I have no idea what is going to happen. I haven't had enough proper conversations to be able to answer this question properly, but I'll just say this. I think Drinkwitz has proven you can win here at Mizzou. His average annual value on his contract is one of the 15 richest in the country. He's making about $10 million a year. He doesn't have the same kind of expectations that Penn State and Florida and LSU have. He also doesn't have the governor of the state looking over him at all times, trying to influence the football program very much, at least on the outside. And so I think Drinkwitz is in a really good spot here. What happens in the future, I'm not totally sure.
He is Quentin Corpuel. He covers Missouri football for the Columbia Missourian. You follow him on Twitter at Quentin Corpuel. Quentin, thanks for the time. Enjoy the game, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the line.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Have a great night.
Awesome. Very good. That's Quentin Corpuel joining us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line. Missouri and Texas A&M coming up tomorrow. Let's see if the line has moved. Last time I saw, this was a 6.5-point spread. We'll just check and make sure if that is where it is continuing to sit. Yeah, Texas A&M is a 6.5-point favorite. I don't feel good about this game for Missouri, if I'm being told. I want Missouri to win, and I actually, it's one of those things where I think they, I'm not trying to like talk out of both sides of my mouth. That's not what I'm doing here. I think they can win. I don't, this is not the, one of these games where it starts and I just go, the possibility of this team winning this game is just close to zero, but I don't feel good about it. I feel like Texas A&M likely wins the game. I hope I'm wrong. Also, if they win this game, that's when things start to get a little bit interesting. Because if they win that game, that's where we can like kind of start talk about, okay, is there a path to the college football playoff? And right now, they don't have a signature win to get them there, and they've got two losses. I think we can sit here and all agree, I know I keep talking about the Jerry Palm conversation, that three losses probably is not enough, or it's probably too many, I should say. But if they finish out the year a two-loss team and they have a win against the number three team in the nation in Texas A&M, and they have a win on the road against a team that's currently ranked 12th in Oklahoma, that's, to me, that's good enough. To me, that gets them there. But one more loss and they're done. So I hope they win tomorrow, because if anything else, it just keeps the storyline moving forward, right? The narrative moves forward on whether or not they can win out and maybe get to the college football playoff. But if they lose tomorrow, then that's a conversation that completely goes away. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit from Alec Burleson. He talked to us today on a media Zoom following the news that he had won the Silver Slugger in the National League for Utility Players. We'll hear from Alec Burleson coming up in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. About 20 minutes left in the program. Yesterday, the news broke that Alec Burleson wins a National League Silver Slugger Award, which is very, very cool. He met with the media today via Zoom from his home in North Carolina. And as he spoke, one of the first things he said was that to win this type of award, there's a lot of people that helped him get to that point.
It wasn't really on my radar. You know, until it was, you know, announced that I was a finalist. You know, it means a lot to get the recognition, but, you know, there were a lot of hands that went into it. Obviously it was a utility Silver Slugger. So that, you know, entails the defensive part of it too. So, you know, with Stubby and John Jay, they, you know, pushed me every day to be better, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. And then, just the hitting coach, just the staff that we have really helped me out a lot. You know, not just with the swing, because I think the swing was it was in a good spot, but just allowing me to or giving me the resources to be more consistent throughout the year and finish the way I wanted to finish. So, like I said, my name might be on the award, but there are a lot of hands that are attached to it.
It was well documented throughout the year, so you know, you've probably followed along with this story. But what really happened, and it became very clear, what really happened for Burleson, what took him from being just kind of an okay hitter to turning into a pretty high-level hitter as the season went along, was his swing decisions. What pitches to swing at, what pitches not to swing at. And that's not – sometimes people hear that and go, yeah, you swing at strikes – and you don't swing at pitches outside the zone. Well, it's not, A, it's not that simple, and B, that's not completely accurate, because there are going to be pitches inside the zone that you just know that you can't do anything with it, so you take a strike. And that seems odd, right? Like, I get it. Like, what do you mean a hitter is just going to stand there and take a strike? You make contact with it, maybe something good's going to happen. And there's some truth to that, especially when you're in two strike counts, for sure, because you don't want to strike out. But sometimes strikeouts are not the end of the world. And he talked through that a little bit, because that's probably the number one thing that helped lead him to being such a good hitter at the big league level. He talked through the process for him to become more selective at the plate.
it took me being okay with taking strikes. It took me being okay with, you know, being down 0-1, or, you know, being in a hitter's count and taking a strike. Like, it took me being okay with, you know, seeing pitches go by. And, you know, that's been the topic of conversation for the last 2-3 years is just, you know, how can I, and I still could get better at it, right? Like, there's still some areas of improvement that can happen, but, you know, it's just having a plan every single at bat and sticking to that plan until you're, you know, you have to go off script or whatever, but 99% of the time you don't have to. And, you know, it's really being stubborn to that. And, like I said, it's okay to take strikes, you know, that are dotted on the corner in a hitter's count. Like, you don't even want to swing at those anyway. So, it took a lot of, took a lot for me to really understand that and, accept it and, you know, buy into it. And I think that's kind of where you've seen the improvement.
He also talked about the consistency that he found and what it took to get there.
I knew I could hit at this level. It was just a matter of getting better in some certain areas. And, you know, when I said I knew I was going to be able to hit, obviously there were things I knew I needed to work on. It wasn't something where it was, you know, I'm just going to do what I do and, and you know, it's just going to happen for me. That's not the way it works. So, you know, it took a lot of hard work and, really some self-reflection, just kind of understanding who I am and what I can do, and just buying into that. So there was a lot that went into it, but yeah, obviously I'm not the Mason Wynn on defense, or, you know, I'm not the Victor Scott on the base pads. So, you know, I definitely need to get my extra base hits when I can. And, so that's kind of, you know, that's my game. So that's, you know, it's really, really special to be honored for that.
So the old cliche in sports, really in anything, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. So Burleson talked a little bit about what's next for him and able to get to another level in hitting.
You know, it's continue to, you know, hone in on my zone. Like I've been saying, obviously, you know, I don't want to go up there and try to walk, but I would enjoy some more walks. Those are a lot less stressful at bats. But, you know, I just want to continue to just keep hitting the ball hard. I think that puts you in the best spot to have success is when you hit the ball hard, you've got a better chance of getting hit. So, you know, it's finding out those, you know, whether those are drills or approaches or thought processes of, you know, how to keep my swing as consistent throughout a full 162. How can I keep it as consistent as I can? You know, it's just finding those different things. So, I just want to continue to, you know, produce for this team and be consistent throughout a year. And, you know, once I start doing baseball activity and hitting and stuff, that'll probably come a little bit more easy to my mind of what I need to work on. But, you know, I think if I do what I did last year for, you know, next year, I would be pretty happy.
Talking through that offseason, one of the things that he said that he's learned is that what you do during the offseason months is what helps lead you to being able to make it through a 162-game season.
Yeah, I think I have 2 full seasons under my belt, you know, 2 full seasons of playing time. And so, you know, I know what it takes to not only play a full season, but be healthy for a full season and produce for a full season. So I learned a lot about that this year and what that takes. So, this off season is going to be a lot of the same things as last year that I did. Just continue to get the body in a good spot and, you know, have a plan throughout the year to maintain what I have. And, you know, once hitting and baseball activity starts to ramp up, then I'll be in contact with a lot of coaching staff, just, you know, what they want me to work on, what I need to be better at, how I can be more consistent. And so there's going to be a lot that goes into it, but, you know, just super excited to put that work in.
And then a final thing from him, this isn't connected to baseball, but I think Cardinals fans would be interested to know how life is going for Alec and his wife after they recently became parents for the first time. That changes things, and he did talk through what it's like being a dad.
Yeah, definitely life-changing. I wasn't – the season ended on a Sunday. Stayed back in St. Louis for a couple days. Flew back late Wednesday. Got back home late Wednesday. And I wasn't home 24 hours, and we were in the hospital. So it was wow. kind of incredible timing. And then he was born about 1:30 Saturday morning. So it was pretty easy for me to switch, turn the baseball switch off into getting off season mode and dad mode. And it's super awesome. He'll be 5 weeks tomorrow. So he's eating. He got nothing for me except my appetite. That's all he does is eat. He looks just like my wife. He looks nothing like me, but, you know, he's awesome. And, you know, kudos to my wife. She's taken on a lot of responsibility. Obviously I've still got to get my stuff in. It is for my job, and I still got to go to the gym and do stuff. And she's, you know, been super awesome with taking care of him, and she's already a great mom. So, but it's like you said, it's a life changing experience, and it's really cool though. Really cool.
That was Alec Burleson speaking on a media Zoom earlier today. Appreciate him taking that time. If you did not hear it, he also spent some time on the Gas House Gang this afternoon talking with Chris Ranji and Mike Claiborne. And we always have our Gas House Gang replay during the 8 o'clock hour, so you'll be able to hear more from Alec at about 8:30 today. So I encourage you to be tuned in for that. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. You're locked into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up here as we'll be done in just a few minutes as we get to 8 o'clock. You'll hear the 8 o'clock news with Michael Calhoun. And then you actually get a little bit more of me because I was on with Chris Ranji and Mike Claiborne for the first half hour of Gas House Gang today. So we'll replay that in the 8 o'clock hour. And after I pop off at 8:30, that's when it gets good because Alec Burleson, you'll hear more from him. He had an exclusive interview with the Gas House Gang earlier today. And if you missed it the first time, well, you get to hear it coming up at 8:30. One of our big topics of conversation, Kyle Sixt is with us here today, our sports producer extraordinaire. Kyle, I asked people, we got some really good stuff. Really appreciate the text messages and the tweets and the phone calls that we got. I wanted to have some positivity, so I wanted to hear from people what would make them happy that the Cardinals did this offseason. And my caveat was, we have to be based in reality. It has to be something that could actually happen. And we had some people say, okay, look, if we're being honest, there's nothing that this organization can do this offseason that's going to make us happy because they understand the limitations. And I get that. Like that's not a wrong answer. I disagree with it, but it's a valid answer, and I understand why people would say that. Kyle, I got a few texts that we didn't read because they weren't based in reality, but this was my favorite, not favorite because I agree with it, favorite because of how disconnected from the real world it was. Best thing for the Cardinals to do is if the DeWitts sell the team, if they hire Albert or Yachty as the coach, they don't say manager, they say coach, as coach, they need to sign Max Scherzer to the rotation, they need to sign Chapman for the bullpen, and they need to trade J.J. Weatherholt for an ace. I think they were 0-4. Are they messing with me?
Like, they have to be.
When I get that, like, there are so many things in that text that are so detached from reality, especially when I put the caveat on this conversation that I really want people to send in stuff that's connected to reality. Like, this person, they have to be messing with me.
You're
right?
You're getting messed with right now. It has to be.
Because this stuff is from planet Zoran or something. Like, this is not real.
Yeah.
None of this has any... What would be the most likely thing of all these things happening? Chapman? Would that be the most likely?
Chapman or Scherzer, I guess.
No, Scherzer isn't happening.
Yeah, I guess Chapman, I guess.
And that's not happening either.
No.
Yeah. I have to be, this has to be me getting messed with.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the thing that would make me, like, if there's one thing that would make me the most upset this offseason, it's trading J.J. Weatherholt.
Yes.
That's like the one thing you can't do.
No. No. this guy has star written all over. Maybe not superstar, but star. Like, we talk so much about finding guys that you can build around. Well, Weatherholt's going to be that. There is a scenario where Weatherholt's your best offensive player by the end of this upcoming season.
And it's not like you have to wait for him. If he was like years and years away, I get not like wanting something now. He's probably going to be on the team to start the year next year.
I hope so.
I mean, at least there's a good chance.
Yeah, I am in favor of both J.J. Weatherholt and Quinn Matthews being on the opening day roster next year. I think that would probably be the thing that would make me most happy on opening day next year. If those two guys are good enough in spring training to earn a spot on the opening day roster, that makes me feel really good about the pace in which this thing that they don't want to call a rebuild is actually going. Have a great weekend. We've got Gas House Gang next here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.